Hare Om Sahana Sahanabhunyato Sahabhyandaravavahai Devasvibhavani Namastu Mavidvishavahai Shanti, Shanti, Shanti Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaya Gadadhara Shiva Sarita Ravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
It so happened that the learned Brahmanas residing within the city saw many evil omens which they reported to Jarasandha. The priest, making the king mount an elephant, hurled lighted brands about him. King Jarasandha also, possessed of great prowess, with a view to warding off those evils, entered upon a celebration of a sacrifice with proper vows and fasts. Meanwhile, O Bharata, so you see, is here even the demons, then they're taking up the principle of, how do you say, trying to adjust things by pious means, right? Because by piety, then all benefit is gained. Right? To impiety, then we don't get any gain. But through piety, then we have this gain. So then, those who are intelligent, they understand this. What makes a demon is that he does not depend upon Krishna. Right? Sura, demigod, means that he depends upon Krishna. But, because if they're, you know, they're neophyte devotees, they only depend when there's trouble. Right? Great devotees like Bali Maharaj and others, they depend upon Krishna whether there's trouble or no trouble. Right? So when they're happy, they're thinking of Krishna. When they're not happy, they're thinking of Krishna. But the suras, the means, then they, when only when there's trouble do they think. Otherwise, they're enjoying themselves, and then when there's a problem, then they start to think about Krishna. Does that make sense? So demons are, when it's good, they're just enjoying themselves. When it's bad, then they just think of another plan. Right? So here he took shelter of pious activities, this and that. Does that make sense? It's very important, because otherwise devotees sometimes think by dealing with pious activities and that they're very spiritual, because it's within the realm of Vedic. But within Vedic, they're spiritual and mundane. Right? Does that make sense? You have to be able to distinguish between them, yes. Kamsa. So Kamsa was always thinking of Krishna, but it wasn't favorable. Right? So are these others. It wasn't favorable. That's why then when they left their body, then they didn't go back to Godhead. They took birth again. Like that. It means be very exalted, you're thinking of Krishna, even inimically, it'll purify and bring one to the platform, but it won't get you into the spiritual world. You can get liberation, but liberation doesn't get you out of the material world. Right? Just like going to the heavenly planets doesn't give you eternal life. Yeah. But here we'll see is the demons, because they're intelligent, they follow the Vedic culture. Right? So those who don't follow the Vedic culture have to be considered less intelligent than the demons. Right? Basically. You know, if we want to be truthful. Meanwhile, O Bharata, the brothers, unarmed, or rather with their bare arms as their only weapons, desirous of fighting with Jarasandha, entered the capital in the guise of Snatic Brahmins. They beheld the extraordinary beauty of the shops, full of various edibles and garlands, supplied with articles of every variety of qualities that man couldn't desire. The best of men, Krishna, Bhima, and Dhananjaya, beholding in those shops their affluence, passed along the public road. How do you say? So the idea is human life is meant to remove all material contamination to go back to Godhead. So that means that then those things that are favorable within that, they're available, right? Favorable or neutral, like that. Things that are against that, we don't bother with, right? Vishwanath gives five levels. Something that's directly engaged in Krishna service, those that are in support of direct devotional service, those things that are neutral, those things that are not favorable, but they're not against devotional service, they're not favorable for your particular sadhana, then those things that are against devotional service. So the last two we give up, the first three are good. Right? So neutral things, then they're nice. So those things are available in the shops. Then the human being, according to his need, takes those and engages those in Krishna's service. And this way he removes that from the heart, those desires from the heart. Like that. Endued with great strength, they snatched forcibly from the flower vendors the garlands they had exposed for sale. Attired in robes of various colors and decked in garlands and earrings, the heroes entered the abode of Jarasandha, possessed of great intelligence. Like Himalayan lions eyeing cattle folds. Is there another time we see Krishna does the same exact thing? Yeah, when he enters Mathura, he does the same things. He takes garlands. He's not taking, you know, mobile phones and watches and stuff like that. He's taking garlands. He likes garlands. He likes to wear garlands, right? He likes flowers. So he likes flowers more than ornaments. So then. And it's some fun. You harass them. It's a flower vendor. You harass them. It's not a big loss. You know. The arms of those warriors, O king, besmeared with sandal paste, looked like the trunks of sal trees. The people of Magadha, beholding those heroes, looking like elephants, with necks broad like those of sal trees and wide chest, began to wonder much. Right? It said according to the Yoga Shastra, that someone whose body is in perfect balance, their neck, their bicep, and their calves are the same size. Like that. So you understand it's properly proportioned, but everything is very... Yeah, you're looking at your neck is big, but no. The point is your neck is this size, that's how big your arm should be. Then you know that this is Kshatriyas, right? You know, that's also, sal trees. Sal tree is special in that it's very, very hard wood, right? All the door frames in your houses, that's all sal. Like that. Like this bridge here, it's sal. That piece of that extremely, useful and,
Time-tested
plank out here. That's been out there for the last 7 years in the sun, the rain, the wind. And it's still sitting there in the same place. Of course, you know, whatever. Point is it's very, very strong wood. So when you say they're like a sal tree, one, sal trees are very big, very straight, very strong, and the wood is extremely, extremely hard, but very workable. It's not brittle at all. Like that, it's very flexible. So it's you know, it can be considered, at least in India, the strongest wood that you could do work with. So when they compare them to a sal tree, it's not just, it's a big tree, any old big tree. Well, my apple tree in my backyard's big, so yeah, Bhima was like an apple tree, or something like that. No, that's Genghis Khan. He was like an apple tree, because where he comes from, that's where apples are from, right? So. Okay. The people of Magadha, beholding those heroes looking like elephants with necks broad like that those of sal trees and wide chests, began to wonder much. Those bulls amongst men, passing through three gates that were crowded with men, proudly and cheerfully approached the king. And Jarasandha, rising up in haste, received them with water to wash their feet, honey and the other ingredients of the argya. So it says honey, what does that mean? Madhu Parka. So here's Snatika's coming. So then must be something very, you know, special. And they look so their prowess is very great, their confidence is very great, so they must be somebody special, right? Otherwise, the Brahmins walk in, they'll be, ooh, wow, big palace, and that. They just walk in like they own the place, right? Because they're about to own the place. Right? They're coming to check out the real estate, right, before they buy, right? Receive them with water to wash their feet, honey, and the other ingredients of the argya, with gifts of kine and other forms of respect. The great king, addressing them, said, "Ye are welcome." O Dhananjaya, both Partha and Bhima remained silent at this. Addressing the monarch, Krishna said, "O king of kings, these two are now in the observance of a vow. Therefore, they will not speak. Silent they will remain till midnight. After that hour, they will speak with thee." The king then, quartering his guests in the sacrificial apartments, retired into his private chambers. That didn't mean he had brought four horses and, broke them into four parts. It just meant that he put them in quarters. So if you're quartered, it means you're put into... So I guess in the Vedic time, drawn and quartered would mean they draw you a drink and quarter you in a nice room, right? Okay, so. And when midnight ascended, the monarch arrived at the place where his guests, attired as Brahmins, were. For, O king, that ever-victorious monarch observed this vow, which was known throughout the worlds, that as soon as he should hear of the arrival of Snataka Brahmins at his place, should it be even at midnight, he would immediately, O Bharata, come out and grant them an audience. Beholding the strange attire of his guests, that best of kings wondered much. For all that, however, he waited on them respectfully, right? Because it said if someone is just a beggar and you give them charity, you know, an ordinary person, you get back equal amount in the future. You'll never lose. Charity is never, never lost. If they simply claim to be a Brahmin, they're dressed as one, though they are not at all, you'll get double the amount back, right? Just for respecting Brahmins, even if it's bogus Brahmins, right? If they're qualified Brahmins, then you're going to get so much more times, 10,000 times, I think it is. And then if they know the Vedas, they're very, realized, then 100,000 times back. And if they're, from the spiritual world, like Narad Muni, then it's unlimited. Does that make sense? So he will even though they look funny, right, means the snatikas are austere, they're on vows, they're following Maunavrata, right? I think we have one. They're considered very respectable. But then on top of that, they're dressed not exactly like Snatikas, right? They're very, very powerful. They have garlands on, sandalwood paste in their body. That's not normally how Snatikas work, like that. So, but they're dressed like it, so that's good enough for him. Those bulls amongst men, those slayers of all foes, on the other hand, O thou best of the Bharata race, beholding King Jarasandha said, "Let salvation be attained by thee, O king, without difficulty." Right? Blessings, okay. O tiger among kings, having said this unto the monarch, they stood looking at each other. And, O king of kings, Jarasandha then said unto those sons of Pandu, and he of the Yadu race, all disguised as Brahmins, "Take your seats," right? So he's the monarch, so they're Brahmins. They stood, right? And he's telling them to take their seats. But he's there at midnight because they're Brahmins. Understand? So both are respecting each other according to their position. Right? It doesn't go one way. It's always two ways. Does that make sense? I probably gave you the example of those heads of the company, the Bosch company, all the people who are managing it and running it and owning it. They were sitting in this kind of room that had seats on both sides of the room, but only doors at each end. So the cleaning lady came in, and she wanted to go through to the other side. So she, covered her head very nicely and going. She wanted to go through, but she can't go through the middle of people who are talking. So all the men stood up, and then let her go, even though they're the heads of the company, she's a hired, you know, cleaning lady. But because she's a lady, then she's respected in her position. But she respected them because they're the boss. Right? So therefore, she was very humble and all that. She didn't come in and says, you know, I'm walking here, you know, like that kind of thing. You know, she behaved herself. Those bulls amongst men sat themselves down, and like the three priests of a great sacrifice, blazed forth in their beauty. King Jarasandha, O thou of the Kuru race, firmly devoted to truth, censuring the disguised guests, said unto them, it is well known to me that in the whole world, Brahmanas in the observance of Snatika vow never deck their persons with garlands and fragrant paste unseasonably. Who are ye, therefore, thus decked with flowers? Right? They're not at a sacrifice. They haven't been honored by anybody. He's come there. He didn't give it to them. So how is it they're just walking around with garlands and sandalwood paste? You know, but he's not saying, you know, you're nonsense. He says, Snatiks never do this. Everybody knows. Why is it you're doing it? They may have a reason. Who are ye, therefore, thus decked with flowers and with hands bearing the marks of the bowstring? Right? So they can tell that on the hands, or they can tell on the shoulder where they put the bow, like that. Attired in colorful robes and decked unseasonably with flowers and paste, ye give me to understand that ye are Brahmins, although ye bear Kshatriya energy. Tell me truly, who are ye? Right? Because beauty, like Brahmins, when they shine forth, it's not beauty. It may be beautiful, but you'll think purity. Kshatriyas, you'll think handsome beauty. The same power, but it just comes through. Like you have, you know, the glass is yellow, it comes through yellow light. It comes to another one, it comes to another light. They're here again? They know they're supposed to be down there. Tell me truly who ye are. Truth decks even kings. Breaking down the peak of the Chaitika hill, why have ye, in disguise, entered the city by an improper gate, without fear of the royal wrath? The energy of a Brahmin dwelleth in his speech, not in act. This your feat is not suited to the order to which ye profess to belong. Tell us, therefore, the end ye have in view. Arrived here by such an improper way, Why accept ye not the worship I offer? What is your motive for coming to me? Thus addressed by the king, the high-souled Krishna, well-skilled in speech, thus replied unto the monarch in a calm and grave voice. Right? They broke the hill. They came through the wrong gate, because Brahmins have a specific gate they come through. Right? They always come through the north gate. So he's saying that, well, Brahmins, their strength is in their words. What they speak, that's their strength. But Kshatriyas, then it's in power, right? So Kshatriyas would be power, Vaishyas would be wealth, Shudras would be their art, their fame, their beauty, like this. That's what they'll show. So then he's saying, is you're showing that of Kshatriya strength, and then but you're coming as Brahmins. You come, I go to respect you as such, you don't accept my worship. You say I have to come at midnight. So what's happening here? What's going on? So you have to speak. So he gets the idea is they are Kshatriyas, but still they're dressed as Brahmanas, so he'll deal with them as Brahmanas, till otherwise they say something, right? Because Parasaram was dressed like a Brahman, but looked like a Kshatriya, so you want to be careful, you know? You don't want to offend the wrong Brahmana. You know? So calm and grave voice, Krishna then spoke. Krishna said, O king, know us for Snataka Brahmanas. Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas are all, O monarch, competent to observe the vow of Snataka. This vow, besides, hath many especial and general rules. A Kshatriya observing this vow with especial rules always achieves prosperity. Therefore, we have decked ourselves with flowers. So the snataka means that they're traveling for pilgrimage, for knowledge, for, you know, like this. So they're always then very respected. So Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas can do, though generally Kshatriyas, Vaishyas aren't so interested. But they can also take this vow. You see, they go on pilgrimage, they go on these different things. So sometimes you see it here. If you've ever seen Grihasthas come in and they're all wearing yellow, you ever seen that? Like that. So that means they're on a vow of some sort. If they're coming here, it means it's pilgrimage. They're doing a sacrifice or that. That's why in the beginning, Prabhupada was an option. Grihasthas could wear yellow. Because yellow is the sign of someone doing a vow. Right? A Grihastha who's on a vow, they wear yellow. Like that. So that's why a lot of the yajnas, then the cloth is dipped in turmeric. Right, so it means you're doing a vow. It means anybody can wear it, but it's generally, you know, saffron generally also means vow, so it's not necessary to wear yellow cloth when someone who generally wears saffron does a sacrifice, but they could. But those wearing white, then by that, then you know, oh, something special here, so you don't just talk the normal talk, you don't behave in the normal way. You have to be more respectful, more Krishna conscious, more God conscious, like that. Does that make sense? You got something? No. Kshatriyas again, O king, exhibit their energy by their arms and not in speech. It is therefore, O son of Vrihadratha, that the speeches uttered by a Kshatriya are never audacious. So they don't say too much, they show. That was Karna's thing. You sit there and talk so much, just do it. Right? Does that make sense? So the principle is the Brahmins will talk, right? That's their prowess, is in what they can say, what they know. But Kshatriyas, they don't talk so much. They talk nicely, but when it comes to showing force, it's shown with strength, right? It's not shown by words, you know? So if they sit there and threaten each other and this and that, that's not Kshatriya. That'll be someone else, right? So Kshatriyas, they don't talk much. They just do it, right? O monarch, the Creator hath planted His own energy in the arm of the Kshatriya. If thou wishest to behold it, thou shalt certainly behold it today. These are the rules of the ordinance, namely, that an enemy's abode should be entered through a wrong gate, and a friend's abode through the right one. Right? So even Krishna's doing it according to the rules, right? Krishna's even made the rules how you deal with an enemy. You want to make trouble? You know, you don't want to be, you know, this is the way to do it, right? Know, O monarch, that this also is our eternal vow, that having entered the foe's abode for the accomplishment of our purposes, we accept not the worship offered to us. Right? Because then also you're obliged. Right? Because you're not come for worship, then you've established the relationship that way. You can't change relationships. Right? Relationships, once established, they stay that way. Right? Means you may consider, okay, he's gone from being a king into an emperor, you have to take that into consideration. But basically is that element that you've come as Brahmin, accept the worship of a Brahmin, then that's your relationship. But they want to come as Kshatriyas, but to get that personal audience, they have to come as Brahmins to do it. So it's diplomacy here that they use. Section 22. Jarasandha said, I do not recollect if I ever acted injuriously towards ye, even upon a careful mental scrutiny, I failed to see the injury I did unto ye. When have I ever done ye an injury? Why, ye Brahmanas, do you regard me, who am innocent, as your foe? Because he still thinks they're Brahmins, because now he's quoted that we entered the wrong gate because that's the rule. So then what did I do? I don't remember ever offending Brahmins, because he's very, very careful about this. He worships the Brahmins, they do his Shaligram Puja. That's one of the reasons he's so powerful, because his respect for the Brahmins. Oh, answer me truly, for this indeed is the rule followed by the honest. Right? So you should give me a true answer, because you're Brahmins, you could answer. So Brahmins and Kshatriyas, they speak truth. Right? Vaishyas may or may not, because in business you can't tell someone you know, oh, how much does this cost? Well, I bought it for 100 rupees, and then the transport was, you know, about 23 rupees. And then, you know, I had to store it for some time, and that cost me another 7 rupees. Then, you know, paying the labor and all that to make it ready and all. Then I had to build a special thing to, you know, show it on and all that. So that all came to, you know, 143 rupees. And so then I put my 20% profit onto that, so it costs you this much. You ever heard that? No. You hear, for you, and while that you's going on, they're going, okay, white skin, looks a little spaced out, so 5 times the price, therefore, for you, it's only 600 rupees. Right? But if they calculate and go, ooh, they look like they've been around, or, you know, they're Indians, or they look local because they just talk to me in, you know, in bad language, so for you, it is only 67 rupees. You know, like that. So then it goes. Does that make sense? So that's what's going on there. So it's called, business is called satyan rita. It's called half truth, half lie. It's the only way it works, is if you tell the truth, you'll make no profit because no one will give you any. Right? They'll say, oh, you're lying, right? And then they'll give you less. Right? So you can't tell the truth. That's the problem. So it's just like that. But Brahmin Kshatriya is that, then truth is part of it. Maybe spoken nicely, it may be spoken in a hidden way, but it still must be truth. The mind is pained at the injury to one's pleasure and morality. That kshatriya who injures an innocent man's sources of pleasure and morality, even if he be otherwise a great warrior and well versed in all rules of morality, obtains without any doubt the fate of sinners thereafter and falls off from prosperity. In other words, you never get in the way of someone else's prosperity, right? You have something about the person, deal with the person. Don't undermine all his facility, because you have to remember, you get his facility, that facility is also shared with his family and other persons, right? Does that make sense? So this thing where you go, you have to go and get everything that's important, this is actually a very envious quality, right? Very, very popular, but it actually is not human, right? As we see here, Jarasandha is saying, you don't undermine those things in others, right? Fight him, kill him, that's okay. That's why they would always fight out of the cities, right? You can destroy the army, destroy the king, but you don't fight in the city and destroy the prosperity. Right? It means breaking the Chaitika mountain, that was respect, right? It wasn't anybody's facility for enjoyment. It was a respect, oh, we have this great mountain here, right? But it wasn't anybody's personal facility, right? So this is, he quoted morality. So those that quote morality and then behave like this are, as said here, obtains without any doubt the fate of sinners thereafter. Even though they claim to be moral, the reaction they'll get for that is sinful. Yes.
What about Hanuman?
Set fire to Lanka.
It's not a human.
That's true. Very good point. That's point. Yeah, because that was the point with Bali Maharaj. Bali meaning the monkey, Bali, yeah. Is that Ramachandra shot him from behind a tree because he had a boon that whoever stands in front of him, he gets half their strength. So then, you know, feigning humanness, then he hid behind the tree, because if he came out, he wouldn't be able to handle half of how you say, Ramachandra's strength, because half is still unlimited. So he hid behind a tree, you know, probably for his benefit. Might explode or something. You know. So then he shot him. And then afterwards, Bali is chastising. He says, you know, say you're from this dynasty, you know, this great Ikshvaku dynasty, you're great kings and all this, but known for the rules and everything, but, you know, what is this? You're shooting from behind the tree. You know, and then he's saying, no, but, you know, politics. And he was quoting so many different things. You know, from the Artha Shastras and other aspects, but, you know, Bali was just going by Dharma, you know, because Ram is Dharma and this and that. So he wouldn't accept any of his arguments. They weren't good enough. So then finally at the end, then he says, hey, Kshatriyas go out all the time and from a hidden place, shoot the animals of the forest, and there's no sin there, right? And so then Bali, he accepted that one. He said, yes, I'm a monkey. Okay, from that standpoint, it's all right. But if we're talking Dharma and king to king, then we got a problem here. But, you know, we're monkeys. So. The practices of the Kshatriyas are the best of those who are honest in the three worlds. Indeed, those that are acquainted with morality applaud the Kshatriya practices. Adhering to those practices of my order, with steady soul, I never injure those that are under me. In bringing this charge, therefore, against me, it appears that ye speak erroneously. So here now the Kshatriyas are being brought to the front. That they, you know, follow all these rules of ethics, morality, truth, right? Very nice. Because if it's ethics and morality without truth, then it's pranamoy. If it's with truth, then it has that element of the manamoy, the dharma. Krishna said, O thou of mighty arms, there is a certain person at the head of a royal line who upholdeth the dignity of his race. At his command we have come against thee. Thou hast brought, O king, many of the Kshatriyas of the world as captives to thy city, having perpetuated that wicked wrong. How dost thou regard thyself as innocent? O best of monarchs, how can a king act wrongfully towards other virtuous kings? But thou, O king, treating other kings with cruelty, seekest to offer them as sacrifice unto the god Rudra. O son of Vriyadratha, this sin committeth by thee may touch even us, for we are virtuous in our practices. We are capable of protecting virtue. The slaughter of human beings as sacrifice unto the gods is never seen. Why dost thou, therefore, seek to perform a sacrifice unto God Shankara by slaughtering human beings? Thou art addressing persons belonging to thy own order as animals fit for sacrifice. Fool as thou art, who else, O Jarasandha, is capable of behaving in this way? One always obtaineth the fruits of whatever acts one performeth under whatever circumstances. Therefore, desirous as we are of helping all distressed people, we have, for the prosperity of our race, come hither to slay thee. The slaughter of our relatives. Thou thinkest that there is no man amongst the Kshatriyas equal to thee. This, O king, is a great error of judgment on thy part. What Kshatriya is there, O king, who, endued with greatness of soul and recollecting the dignity of his own parentage, would not, upon falling in open fight, ascend to eternal heaven that hath not its like anywhere? Right, so you see in his speaking, he's chastising, but at the same time, he's creating the air of dignity. Right? Does that make sense? Because they're Kshatriyas, they fight on that platform, right? It's not that they sit around and, you know, how you say, just make funny noises and then, you know, fight with each other. It's a matter of it. There's a particular rasa that's tasted in their fighting. So it's not just fighting. It's chivalry. The point is to, in a religious, proper religious way, fight to your best. Whether you win or lose, you win, right? Well, if it's just a fight, you win, then you're still in the material world, you know, in the same situation. You lose, you're, you know, then you're dead, you're still in the material world, right? So that's the difference. We see as like, what's his name? Triketu as the demon? Vritrasura. So he was trying to establish that the environment of the chivalry, you know, based on God consciousness. And in that, he was fighting, while Indra was just afraid. And he was forgetting all those things. So he had to be inspired to remember that so he would fight properly. Know, O bull among men, that Kshatriyas engage themselves in battle as persons installed in sacrifices with heaven in view, and vanquish the whole world. So that's their mood. They're installed like in a sacrifice, so they're performing religious principles. If they die in battle, they'll go to the heaven, right? Because that's the point of the sacrifice. You're doing the karmakanda yajna. From the result of that, you go to heaven. So the Kshatriya, in that same mood, is performing his fighting. Right? Does that make sense? Study of the Vedas, great fame, ascetic penances, and death in battle are all acts that lead to heaven. The attainment of heaven by the three other acts may be uncertain, but death in battle hath that for its certain consequence. Right? You may study, you may this or that, you may blow it somewhere along the line. You die in battle in the proper attitude, you will go to the heavenly planets. Right? Proper attitude means you're facing the enemy and fighting to your best, you know, for a religious cause. Right? That's... Death in battle is the sure cause of triumph like Indra's. It is graced by numerous merits. It is for this reason that he of 100 sacrifices, Indra, hath become what he is. By vanquishing the Asuras, he ruleth the universe. Hostility with whom else than thee is so sure of leading us, leading to heaven. Proud as thou art of the extensive strength of thy vast Magadha host. Don't disregard others, O King. Valor dwelleth in every man, O King of men. There are many men whose valor may be equal to or superior to thine. As long as these are not known, so long only art thou noted for thy valor. Right? There may be somebody else. Valor is there in everyone, because depending on the situation, they can rise to the occasion. So then here is that you don't know about them, therefore you're considered the greatest. But if they become known, then you know you have to reassign your status. Thy prowess, O King, can be borne by us. It is therefore that I say so. O King of Magadha, cast off thy superiority and pride in the presence of those that are thy equals. Go not, O King, with thy children, ministers, and army into the regions of Yama. Damodhava, Kritavirya, Uttara, and Vriyadratha were kings that met with destruction along with all their forces for having disregarded their superiors. Desirous of liberating the captive monarchs from thee, know that we are certainly not Brahmanas. I am Hrishikesh, otherwise called Sori. Okay, like that. You notice the chest and arms. Right? And these two heroes among men are the sons of Prithu, Pandu. O son of Magadha, we challenge thee. Fight standing before us. Either set free all the monarchs, or go thou to the abode of Yama. Jarasandha said, I never make a captive of a king without first vanquishing him. Who hath been kept here by that hath not been defeated? Who hath been kept here that hath not been defeated in war? This, O Krishna, it hath been said, is the duty that should be followed by the Kshatriyas, namely to bring others under sway by the exhibition of prowess, and then to treat them as slaves. Right? But he's taking it, he's over... Doing treat them as slaves means that they're vassals, they're junior to him, right? So for a Kshatriya, that's slavery. But they have all their rights, they run their kingdom, they manage their kingdom. Their slavery is that they have to pay tax. Or that they have to, when the bigger king has a war, they have to come and support as an ally. Right? So that's there. But, you know, in their mood, someone like Jarasandha, you know, who has the mood of an emperor, he could never be under anyone. So for him, that's slavery. Right? Does that make sense? So it's not slavery as he's interpreting it. I mean, he can now keep him in jail and sacrifice him like animals. So Krishna's point still stands. But this is his excuse. Having gathered these monarchs with the intention of offering them as sacrifices unto the god, how shall I, O Krishna, from fear liberate them today? When I recollect also the duty I have recited of a Kshatriya, with troops against troops arrayed in order of battle, or alone against one, against two or three, at the same time or separately, I am ready to fight. Right? So now he's left it open. So that was the whole thing, is that why did Krishna go through all that? He could have just said, we're here to fight, but then it may have been okay, then where's your army? But he first established that, you know, the principle of Kshatriyas, the mood of fighting, that chivalry and all that, so it'll bring out his honor and his dignity and following of the religious principles. Then he said, we're equals, right? And showing that, you know, just because you haven't seen doesn't... So it's logical. Yes, okay, maybe I don't know, but like this. So then, now he says, we are, you know, then only after that, when the right attitude has been achieved, then he is saying, okay, now we are who we are, now we have come to fight. So now he's saying, okay, you want to fight his armies, you want to fight one-on-one, you know, one-on-two, one-on-three, or separately, hey, I don't care, like that. So this is what Krishna wanted. Vaishampayana said, having spoken thus and desiring to fight with those heroes of terrible achievements, King Jarasandha ordered his son Sahadev to be installed on the throne, right? Because here, you're going to fight with Krishna and everybody, it may get nasty. So he's made his son the king, because there should always be a king, because if something happens, then, you know, you don't want anything to be undone. Plus, otherwise, then the defeaters will install a king, right? Which may be his son, but may not be, right? In other words, they'll take who is favorable. So therefore, then, he installed the son. Then, oh, like this, and also they wait, because that ceremony then will take some time, and elder, you know, to talk to people. It's not that right there in the room they suddenly start fighting, right? Now they've made the arrangements, and everybody keeps their word, and then, you know, the next day they'll start their fighting, right? Then, O bull of the Bharata race, the king on the eve of battle thought of his two generals, Kaushika and Chitrasena. These two, O king, were formerly called by everyone in the world of men by the respectful appellations of Hansa and Dimbaka. O monarch, that tiger amongst men, the Lord Sori ever devoted to truth, the slayer of Madhu, the younger brother of Haladar, the foremost of all persons having their senses under complete control, keeping in view the command of Brahma, and remembering that the ruler of Magadha was destined to be slain in battle by Bhima, and not by the descendant of Madhu, the Yadavas, desired not to slay himself, King Jarasandha, that foremost of all men, endued with strength, that hero possessed of the prowess of a tiger, the warrior of terrible valor. Right, so then he saw, you know, he's supposed to be killed by Bhima, so he's not desirous of fighting. And anyway, we'll see that he'll, well, section 23. Vaishampayana said, then that foremost of all speakers, Krishna of the Yadava race, addressing King Jarasandha, who was resolved upon fighting, said, O king, with whom amongst us three dost thou desire to fight? Who amongst us shall prepare himself for battle with thee? Thus addressed, the ruler of Magadha, King Jarasandha of great splendor, expressed his desire for fighting with Bhima. The priest then, bringing with him the yellow pigment attained from the cow, garlands of flowers, other auspicious articles, and also various excellent medicines for restoring lost consciousness and alleviating pain, approached Jarasandha, panting for battle. The king Jarasandha, on whose behalf propitiatory ceremonies with benedictions were performed by a renowned Brahmana, remembered the duty of a Kshatriya, dressed himself for battle. So all this is going on in preparation. So you see, they would take the time because rasa is what's important, not the accomplishment. The accomplishment is for attaining rasa. Right? Okay. Taking off his crown and binding his hair properly, Jarasandha stood up like an ocean bursting its contents. Then the monarch, possessed of terrible prowess, addressed Bhima, said, I will fight with thee. Right? He tied his hair, so even the men who had long hair would tie it properly, let alone the women. Jarasandha stood up like an ocean bursting its contents. Then monarch, possessed of terrible prowess, addressing Bhima, said, I will fight with thee. It is better to be vanquished by a superior person. Saying this, Jarasandha, that repressor of all foes, endued, rushed with great energy at Bhimasena, like the Asura Vala of old, who rushed at the chief of the celestials. Right? So then we'll continue. Today is what? Friday. Okay, so then on Monday. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Sambhaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.